We come now to the reading and preaching of God's Word, and let's ask His blessing on that ministry. Father in heaven, You have given us Your Word, and we're grateful for it because it teaches us what You desire of us, how we are to live, what we are to know about You. And so we pray that You would teach us from Your Word as we read it, and that You would be pleased to bless the reading and preaching of Your Word for Your own glory. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. When our son was 3 years old, he had an inguinal hernia, which needed to be repaired. And so we took him into the hospital the day before that surgery was to take place, and we had discussed who would do what, and I was the one who was to stay with him that night in the hospital, and so I did. And before we went down for the night, went to sleep for the night as best we could, the nurse came in and said, "Okay, here's what's going to happen tomorrow. Here are the events that will take place." And one of the things that she mentioned was that he would be given a shot in the morning, which would begin the process of him being unconscious for the surgery. I was pretty sure he heard what she said, but there was no reaction. No discernible reaction that I saw from him. We slept fairly well. Morning came, and so did the nurse. "Okay, it's time for your shot." That's when there was a negative reaction. "No, no, no." Suddenly he was flooded with this horror of what was about to happen. He had been told about it the night before. And maybe for a three-year-old, tomorrow morning is a long ways away. Maybe tomorrow morning won't come. Maybe there will be some other way that will be figured out as to how to deal with this and I won't have to have it. But no, here it is. And he was suddenly flooded with all this horror because of the awful thing that was about to take place. I want you to think about that being flooded with horror for the moment, because it's that kind of an event that we come to in the passage that will be before us today. We have times when we have aha moments. You might be visiting with someone at a conference and it's sudden, "Aha! I know who you are. You're so-and-so. You're a relative of somebody I work with," something of that nature. This is, in a sense, an aha moment, but because it is so negative, I would call it an oh no moment. There is an oh no moment that we find in the scripture passage that we're going to be reading in just a minute or so. And I'm pretty sure that you're going to be able to recognize it. But of course, it's going to be on a much grander scale than what my son had experienced when he was 3 years old. It's not going to be a temporal thing. It's going to be an eternal thing. We come to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And as you look at the beginning of Mark chapter 1, and if you're willing, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Sometimes it's helpful just to hear it read. But other times, others are blessed by following along as it is read. The very first verse of chapter 1 says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Now that's, if it's just saying this is the beginning of the book, that's an unusual way to start a book. But there's something more to it. This is the start of it all. This is where it begins. Let me tell you about it. That's what Mark is saying to his readers. Because the beginning of the ministry of Jesus is really the beginning of the binding of the strong man that we just read about in Luke chapter 11. We're going to read beginning with verse 14 on through the 39th verse, but focusing in on the middle portion of this chapter, because after all, this is really a chiastic structure where you have one thing at the beginning that's balanced with something at the end and so forth, and it brings you right to the central point. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Then they went into Capernaum. And immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now, there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. He did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. May God bless to us the reading of this portion of his word, as we consider some of it in particular together. Try to imagine being in the synagogue that day as Jesus came in. And, there's a new rabbi. There's somebody else sitting up there in the seat of Moses who's going to teach us. Wow, he sounds different. Instead of saying, as so many of the scribes do, "Well, Here's what the law of God says. It could mean this, or it could mean that, or it could mean something else. He's saying, this is what it means. He was teaching them with authority. He wasn't just bouncing around wondering, making you wonder, well, what's the right thing to be thinking here? And there's that man. Maybe you thought that he was a rather crazy man anyway, and you wondered what this new rabbi would think about him. Oh no, he's standing up. What's he going to do this time? And he cries out, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are. The Holy One of God." There was a sudden realization that came over him. Something that he understood. Which you might not just pick up as you read through this unless you realize just what's taking place here. This Jesus of Nazareth is the one that we have been told about. Because remember, the demons probably know the Bible better than you and I do. They don't believe, but they know the Scriptures. And this demon, this demon says, well, what do we have to do with you? Have you come to destroy us? Now, as far you might recall, there's another time when Jesus cast out a demon. He asks, well, what's your name? Well, it's Legion, because we are many. But in this case, instead of we are many, he seems to be alone. This demon seems to be alone. And yet he says, what do you have to do with us? Well, what he is really recognizing is that what has been told about all along is taking place. He knows Genesis 3:15. Do you know it? There's the first presentation of the gospel, really. Where God says to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. You will bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. He will give to you the death blow. This demon knows also about the promise to Abraham. In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. This demon knows about what Moses has written, the law of Moses, and how the law of Moses says that there is a way for us to be delivered from the power of the evil one. And that there is even the destruction of the evil one that is to come. He knows about David and how God has said to David, I will put on your throne your descendant throughout the generations. And for a while during the exile, you know, there's no one, it seems, on the throne of David, but they know that somebody's coming. And so when this demon hears Jesus there in the synagogue saying what he says as he teaches with authority, that's when he comes to that oh no moment. Oh no, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. You're the one who is coming to bring an end to what we have been doing, we demons. Have you come to destroy us? Excuse me. And I think probably the demon is thinking ahead here. Is this the end? Is this what what is going to happen as far as the total destruction of the kingdom of darkness? And it's not going to be just yet. as Jesus is there. But there's going to be, nevertheless, the beginning of the destruction of the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of Satan is not going to have the same authority, the same abilities as they have had. It's often been described as a rabid dog or lion or something that is on a chain now and can only do so much. Much less than what he had been able to do during the era of the Old Covenant. This expression, the Holy One of God, is only found in relation to this incident. Here in Mark and also as Luke records it for us. But we have this expression, you are the Holy One of Israel, as for example in Psalm 71 that we sang. And we're going to see it later in Psalm 89. And we can find in a few other places as well. The Holy One of Israel is the one who comes to destroy the kingdom of darkness, because he is holy. And so Jesus was recognized in the exercise of his glory by this demon. Now, the thing that is typically mentioned here, of course, is that he is one who spoke with authority. He taught with authority. Very different from what they had been seeing prior to this from the rabbis. But there's also a word that that Mark uses quite extensively, and it's the word in the Old King James, the word straightway, or in this New King James and most modern translations, immediately. Jesus is seen to be a man who knows what he is doing. He doesn't have to stop and say, should I take the blue route or should I take another route to get where I want to go? No, he knows. He knows what he needs to do. He's able to act with purpose. And when he sees this demon or has this man stand up, with the demon in him, he's able to say, I know what needs to be done. And he goes ahead and casts out the demon. He came with purpose. He acted with purpose. He acted with authority. He taught with authority. And he cast out the demon with authority. And that just set off all the bells and whistles in the mind of this demon. This is the Holy One of God. And he's come to destroy us. Now, while it is an oh no moment for this demon and for those who are with him, think about the rest of the people that are with you there in the synagogue. Because you're seeing the same thing. You're seeing that Jesus is teaching with authority. You're seeing that he acts with purpose, that he knows what he's doing. How do you react? Well, it seems that the people in the synagogue were a little bit slower on the uptake as to what's going on here. They don't really catch on as quickly as this demon does that this is the Holy One of God. People, your salvation has come. That's what the people in the synagogue should have understood. This is the Holy One of God. That means the salvation that we've been looking forward to, that has been proclaimed to us in the whole Old Testament, is here. Jesus has come. And he's here to deliver us from the power of sin and death. The strong man that we read about in Luke 11 has been bound. His goods can now be plundered. Ah, what rejoicing there should have been in that synagogue that day, but we don't read about any of that. What rejoicing, because God has given to us the salvation that He promised. By His work, Jesus was bringing in the gospel age. He came to do that very thing. And so He is the Holy One of God to do just that. And He did that by the preaching of the good news of the kingdom. Look at the beginning of our scripture lesson as we read it. Verse 15, where He comes into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand." That's what my being here means. Now here's what you need to do. Repent and believe in the gospel. Those things should go hand in hand. I'm here. The gospel is here. The good news that you need to know. And here's what you are to do about it. Isn't that the way with all preaching? It's not just, that's a nice lesson. That's a nice thing that we understand now from the scripture. But what does it mean for you? What am I to do about it? Have you turned in repentance to Jesus Christ? Do you recognize, not only recognize, but believe in Him as the Son of God? Oh, if you can say yes to that, what a glorious thing it is. To be able to know that you belong to Him, that He has redeemed you from the power of sin and death. After all, we need to keep the big picture before us, that He created us, and He created us for His own glory. And He created us so that we might enjoy Him. But we've really messed things up. You can blame your parents on that because you inherited sin from them, just as they inherited it from their parents. And so on back to Adam and Eve. But you have to face it yourself. Even though you inherited it, you need to repent of your sin and believe the gospel. And so we see at the beginning of this passage and at the end, He goes about preaching the gospel. And here's the effect in the center that it has. The effect of this demon recognizing who Jesus is and that He's bringing an end to the reign of terror that they have brought on the world. As we read through this passage, we come to the response of the people who were in the synagogue. In verse 26, we read, "When the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.'" You can be amazed at what you hear in the preaching of the word. And you might go out and even tell people, "That was an amazing sermon. That was marvelous. That was incredible." And the people you say it to say, "Well, what are you doing about it?" All that we have here from these people is amazement. And you need to have more than amazement in response to what Jesus says and does. Because He has called us to obedience to His word. They knew that this was a new teaching, or that's the way they looked at it anyway. But they didn't show repentance. They didn't recognize the good news that God was giving to them. And you know what happens without repentance? The same thing that would happen to that demon, which would never repent. And that is destruction, eternal destruction. We have a responsibility as we consider the Word of God and hear what God has to say to us, not just to be amazed, not just to recognize, aha, here's the beginning of the gospel, here's the good news, it's finally coming in, that kingdom of darkness is going to be destroyed. That's wonderful. But there also needs to be that personal response. May God indeed move your heart to come to that personal response of repentance, of turning from that sin, to confess your sin in order to live faithfully before the Lord. We are to honor the Lord Jesus Christ as the Holy One of God. This afternoon, we're going to be looking at the larger catechism, question one, which is very similar to the shorter catechism, question one. If you've memorized one or the other, it's likely the shorter. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. To glorify God, to honor Him as that Holy One, to be confident in Him as the one who has sovereign authority over the kingdom of darkness. That there is no demon that can overturn the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, so often it seems to me that people, even in the church, think of Jesus and Satan being on the same level, fighting against each other. But remember, Jesus is eternal God. Satan is created. He is under the authority of God. And just to get the picture of him being under the authority of God, look at the book of Job. Because in the book of Job, God has to give Satan permission for Job, for him to affect Job in any way. No, Christ has all authority. And as he brings the gospel, he has bound Satan so that we may come before him to obey his commands. How do you react when you hear that the Holy One of God has come? Does that excite you? Do you rejoice that Jesus came into the world? Now, I know you're not going to just jump out of your seats and start dancing in the aisles. Because this is something that you've known about, many of you, most of your lives. But still, it should instill joy in your hearts. But do you get upset? I would hope that no one here would get upset in hearing that the Holy One of God has come and he's bringing the gospel in. But what often happens in the church is that there is indifference to that message. Ah, yeah, Jesus came. What's for dinner? Consider what Christ has done. Let it excite you. Because the battle continues to rage. No, Jesus hasn't destroyed the kingdom of darkness completely, but he has sealed the destruction of the kingdom of darkness by rising again from the dead. The battle still rages, and you face it. But you face it in Christ, and you are blessed in the reign of the Holy One of God. Keep that consideration before you, and so look to Him as the one who has come and who has brought salvation to His people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your word, and that you have revealed to us your great salvation. Make us to remember what you have done. And so to delight in you, because you are our God, the Holy One of Israel. the Holy One of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.